Good day to you all, dear ones, and welcome to this first day of May, day 122 in our journey through the Bible. Hello to everyone out there. My name is Hunter. I am your brother, your Bible reading coach, somebody who shows up with you every day to spend a little time together in the pages of the Bible. And we're going to let the Bible do what the Bible does and direct our hearts to the one who is the living Word of God, the one alone who has the words of life. And so we gather here from all around the world to warm our hearts by the fires of God's love. For God is love. And today, we're in the book of 1 Chronicles, chapters 14 and 15, then on to Psalm 132, and we'll finish our reading in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 28. I'm glad you're here, friend. 1 Chronicles 14. Then King Hiram of Tyre sent messengers to David along with cedar, timber, and stonemasons and carpenters to build him a palace. And David realized that the Lord had confirmed him as king over Israel and had greatly blessed his kingdom for the sake of his people Israel. Then David married more wives in Jerusalem, and they had more sons and daughters. These are the names of David's sons who were born in Jerusalem: Shammua, Shobab, Nathan, Solomon, Ibhar, Elishua, Elepelet, Nogoa, Nepheg, Japhia, Elishima, Eliada, and Eliphelet. When the Philistines heard that David had been anointed king over all Israel, they mobilized all their forces to capture him. But David was told they were coming, so he marched out to meet them. The Philistines arrived and made a raid in the valley of Rephaim. So David asked God, "Should I go out to fight the Philistines? Will you hand them over to me?" The Lord replied, "Yes, go ahead. I will hand them over to you." So David and his troops went out to Baal Perazim and defeated the Philistines there. "God did it," David exclaimed. "He used me to burst through my enemies like a raging flood." So they named that place Baal Perazim, which means "the Lord who burst through." The Philistines had abandoned their gods there, so David gave orders to burn them. But after a while, the Philistines returned and raided the valley again, and once again David asked God what to do. "Do not attack them straight on," God replied. "Instead, circle around behind and attack them near the poplar trees. When you hear a sound like marching feet in the tops of the poplar trees, go out and attack. That will be the signal that God is moving ahead of you to strike down the Philistine army." So David did what God commanded, and they struck down the Philistine army all the way from Gibeon to Gezer. So David's fame spread everywhere, and the Lord caused all the nations to fear David. 1 Chronicles 15. David now built several buildings for himself in the city of David. He also prepared a place for the Ark of God and set up a special tent for it. Then he commanded, "No one except the Levites may carry the Ark of God. The Lord has chosen them to carry the Ark of the Lord and to serve him forever." Then David summoned all Israel to Jerusalem to bring the Ark of the Lord to the place he had prepared for it. This is the number of the descendants of Aaron, the priest, and the Levites who were called together: from the clan of Kohath, 120, with Uriel as their leader; from the clan of Merari, 220, with Asaiah as their leader; from the clan of Gershon, 130, with Joel as their leader; from the descendants of Elizaphan, 200, with Shemaiah as their leader; from the descendants of Hebron, 80, with Eliel as their leader; from the descendants of Uziel, 112, with Aminadab as their leader. Then David summoned the priests, Zadok and Abiathar, and these Levite leaders: Uriel, Asaiah, Joel, Shemaiah, Eliel, and Aminadab. He said to them, "You are the leaders of the Levite families. You must purify yourselves and all your fellow Levites, so you can bring the Ark of the Lord, the God of Israel, to the place I have prepared for it. Because you Levites did not carry the Ark the first time, the anger of the Lord our God burst out against us. We failed to ask God how to move it properly." So the priests and Levites purified themselves in order to bring the Ark of the Lord, the God of Israel, to Jerusalem. Then the Levites carried the Ark of God on their shoulders, with its carrying poles, just as the Lord had instructed Moses. David also ordered the Levite leaders to appoint a choir of Levites, who were singers and musicians, to sing joyful songs to the accompaniment of harps, lyres, and cymbals. So the Levites appointed Heman, son of Joel, along with his fellow Levites, Asaph, son of Berechiah, and Ethan, son of Cushiah, from the clan of Merari. The following men were chosen as their assistants: Zechariah, Jahaziel, Sheremioth, Jahiel, Uni, Eliab, Benaiah, Messiah, Mattathiah, Eliphelehu, Mechaniah, and the gatekeepers, Obed-Edom and Jael. The musicians Heman and Asaph and Ethan were chosen to sound the bronze cymbals: Zechariah, Aziel, Sheremioth, Jahiel, Uni, Eliab, Messiah, and Benaiah were chosen to play the harps. Mattathiah, Eliphelehu, Mechaniah, Obed-Edom, Jael, and Azariah were chosen to play the lyres. Kenaiah, the head Levite, was chosen as the choir leader because of his skill. Berechiah and Elkanah were chosen to guard the ark. Shebaniah, Jehoshaphat, Nathanael, Amasiah, Zechariah, Benaiah, and Eliezer, all of whom were priests, were chosen to blow the trumpets as they marched in front of the ark of God. Obed-Edom and Jehiah were chosen to guard the ark. Then David and the elders of Israel and the generals of the army went to the house of Obed-Edom to bring the ark of the Lord's covenant up to Jerusalem with a great celebration. And because God was clearly helping the Levites as they carried the ark of the Lord's covenant, they sacrificed 7 bulls and 7 rams. David was dressed in a robe of fine linen, as were all the Levites who carried the ark, and also the singers, and Kenaiah the choir leader. David was also wearing a priestly garment, so all Israel brought up the ark of the Lord's covenant with shouts of joy and the blowing of ram's horns and trumpets, the crashing of cymbals and loud playing on harps and lyres. But as the ark of the Lord's covenant entered the city of David, Michal, the daughter of Saul, looked down from her window. When she saw King David skipping about and laughing with joy, she was filled with contempt for him. Psalm 132, a song for pilgrims ascending to Jerusalem. Lord, remember David and all that he suffered. He made a solemn promise to the Lord. He vowed to the Mighty One of Israel, I will not go home. I will not let myself rest. I will not let my eyes sleep, nor close my eyelids in slumber until I find a place to build a house for the Lord, a sanctuary for the Mighty One of Israel. We heard that the ark was in Ephrathah. Then we found it in the distant country of Ja'ar. Let us go to the sanctuary of the Lord. Let us worship at the footstool of his throne. Arise, O Lord, and enter your resting place, along with the ark, the symbol of your power. May your priests be clothed in godliness. May your royal servants sing for joy for the sake of your servant David. Do not reject the king you have anointed. The Lord swore an oath to David with a promise he will never take back. I will place one of your descendants on your throne. If your descendants obey the terms of my covenant and the laws that I teach them, then your royal line will continue forever and ever. For the Lord has chosen Jerusalem. He has desired it for his home. This is my resting place forever, he said. I will live here, for this is the home I desired. I will bless this city and make it prosperous. I will satisfy its poor with food. I will clothe its priests with godliness. Its faithful servants will sing for joy. Here I will increase the power of David. My anointed one will be a light for my people. I will clothe his enemies with shame, but he will be a glorious king. Matthew 18. About that time, the disciples came to Jesus and asked, Who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? Jesus called a little child to him and put the child among them. Then he said, I tell you the truth, unless you turn from your sins and become like little children, you will never get into the kingdom of heaven. So anyone who becomes as humble as this little child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. And anyone who welcomes a little child like this on my behalf is welcoming me. But if you cause one of these little ones who trust in me to fall into sin, it would be better for you to have a large millstone tied around your neck and be drowned in the depths of the sea. What sorrow awaits the world because it tempts people to sin? Temptations are inevitable, but what sorrow awaits the person who does the tempting? So if your hand or foot causes you to sin, cut it off and throw it away. It's better to enter eternal life with only one hand or one foot than to be thrown into eternal fire with both of your hands and feet. And if your eye causes you to sin, gouge it out and throw it away. It's better to enter eternal life with only one eye than to have two eyes and be thrown into the fire of hell. Beware that you don't look down on any of these little ones, for I tell you that in heaven their angels are always in the presence of my heavenly Father. If a man has 100 sheep and one of them wanders away, what will he do? Won't he leave the 99 others on the hills and go out and search for the one that is lost? And if he finds it, I tell you the truth, he will rejoice over it more than over the 99 others that didn't wander away. In the same way, it is not my heavenly Father's will that even one of these little ones should perish. If another believer sins against you, go privately and point out the offense. If the other person listens and confesses it, you have won the person back. But if you are unsuccessful, take one or two others with you and go back again, so that everything you say may be confirmed by 2 or 3 witnesses. If the person still refuses to listen, take your case to the church. Then if he or she won't accept the church's decision, treat that person as a pagan or a corrupt tax collector. I tell you the truth, whatever you forbid on earth will be forbidden in heaven, and whatever you permit on earth will be permitted in heaven. I also tell you this, if 2 of you agree here on earth concerning anything you ask, my Father in heaven will do it for you. For where 2 or 3 gather together as my followers, I am there among them. Then Peter came to him and asked, Lord, how often should I forgive someone who sins against me? 7 times? No, not 7 times, Jesus replied, but 70 times 7. Therefore, the kingdom of heaven can be compared to a king who decided to bring his accounts up to date with servants who had borrowed money from him. In the process, one of his debtors was brought in who owed him millions of dollars. He couldn't pay him, so his master ordered that he be sold, along with his wife, his children, and everything he owned, to pay the debt. But the man fell down before his master and begged him, "Please be patient with me, and I'll pay it all." Then his master was filled with pity for him, and he released him and forgave his debt. But when the man left the king, he went to a fellow servant who owed him a few $1,000s. He grabbed him by the throat and demanded instant payment. His fellow servant fell down before him and begged for a little more time. "Be patient with me and I'll pay it," he pleaded. But his creditor wouldn't wait. He had the man arrested and put in prison until the debt could be paid in full. When some of the other servants saw this, they were very upset. They went to the king and told him everything that had happened. Then the king called in the man he had forgiven and said, "You evil servant! I forgave you that tremendous debt because you pleaded with me. Shouldn't you have mercy on your fellow servant, just as I had mercy on you?" Then the angry king sent the man to prison to be tortured until he had paid his entire debt. That's what my heavenly Father will do to you if you refuse to forgive your brothers and sisters from your heart. And now may our Lord give his blessing to the reading and hearing of his word. Amen. The king is merciful, but the debtor is not. His debt has been paid in full. Mercy has been shown to him, but this man will not show mercy to others. Why is he behaving this way? Why is his heart not changed by the mercy of the king? Why is he so desperate to collect from others now that he's debt-free? Maybe it's because he resents the king. The heart of the flesh never wants to admit its debt. When the debt is pointed out, and even when it is forgiven, the heart doesn't receive it as such. The heart of the flesh is still trying to pay back and earn to rid itself of the shame by extracting it from others. The debtor wants to free himself of the shame. He's desperate never to be in that position again. But the heart that is ready to receive mercy is evidenced by the desire to offer mercy. It realizes the debt was too great and there's no way to ever repay it. The king has absorbed the loss because of his generous heart. And this is true for you and me too. King Jesus has absorbed the loss, the debt. He took on the insurmountable debt on Calvary's mountain, and he said, "Forgiven." We can never collect enough from others to pay back what we owe. We must simply receive from the generous heart of the King. That's it. And when we do, we're changed by his loving, forgiving, and merciful heart. And we can and we must offer the same heart of generosity to others, forgiving the debts of others as we ourselves have been forgiven. Today, let's live with the generosity of heart, for we have been forgiven. That's the prayer that I have for my own soul. That's the prayer that I have for my family, for my wife and my daughters and my son. And that's a prayer that I have for you. May it be so. Let's continue now in a time of prayer. Feel free to read along with these prayers in the show notes of today's podcast and meditate on these words that are being spoken over you, your family, and our world. And now, let us pray. Lord God, Almighty and Everlasting Father, you have brought us in safety to this new day. Preserve us with your mighty power, that we might not fall into sin or be overcome by adversity. And in all we do, direct us to the fulfilling of your purpose, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. O God, you have made of one blood all the peoples of the earth, and sent your blessed Son to preach peace to those who are far and those who are near. Grant that people everywhere may seek after you and find you. Bring the nations into your fold, pour out your Spirit on all flesh, and hasten the coming of your kingdom. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. And now, Lord, make me an instrument of your peace. Where there is hatred, let me sow love. Where there is injury, pardon. Where there is doubt, faith. Where there is despair, hope. Where there is darkness, light. And where there is sadness, joy. O Lord, grant that I might not seek so much to be consoled as to console, to be understood as to understand, to be loved as to love. For it is in the giving that we receive, in the pardoning that we are pardoned. It is in the dying that we are born unto eternal life. Amen. And now, as our Lord has taught us, we are bold to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever and ever. Amen.
Well, friends, we have done it again. We have done a little soul work. We've spent some time in the scriptures, reflecting, praying, having our hearts pointed in the direction of love. Well, that's worth doing. And I'm glad that we got to do it today. And I plan on doing it tomorrow too. But before I let you go, I do want to say thank you. I want to say thank you to those that make this time together possible. Without sisters and brothers who are willing to partner with Heather and myself, this whole thing does not happen. But because there are amazing people out there who come alongside and say, hey, I want to be a part of this. And, well, that changes everything. And to those change makers, I want to say thank you to Mona Alexander, John Peralta, Craig Hildahl, and Aaron Lee. Blessings to you, my sisters, my brothers, my co-laborers here in this work of the Lord. If you're listening today and you would find some joy and satisfaction in partnering with the DRB, if this podcast has played a part in your own spiritual life and your growth, your sense of perspective and hope, and you would like to partner with us, man, that is so appreciated. All you need to do is to head on over to the webpage, dailyradiobible.com, click on the donate link. You can actually do that right in the show notes of today's podcast. There's a link right there on your phone. And if you're old school, you can reach us through the U.S. Post at Daily Radio Bible 2748 Northeast Molini Way, Hillsboro, Oregon 97124. Well, hey, 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 what do you got to say? What do you say we show up tomorrow? That's what I say. We'll do it again. That's my plan. Lord willing and the creek don't rise, I plan on being here. Until that time, let's go forward in God's joy. Let's let his joy be our strength. And let us always remember this, that you are loved. No doubt about that. Alrighty, I'll talk to you again tomorrow. You guys take care. Bye-bye.